So first of all, what led you to the decision to do a movie about glue huffing or children in Africa, in Kenya specifically, huffing glue?
You know, we it was never our intention to even make a film while we were over there. Mm-hmm. We moved to Kenya to really just learn about, you know, how we can live on this earth when we're not in cities, and just really see what people are doing when it's kind of the basic fundamental tribe. And we got to know the Turkana tribe a little bit, and in that experience, we started learning how so many of the villages are breaking down, or to like kind of find a place where they can live near the city but still be a village. And in that scenario, like, there's so many kids that are on the streets of these towns that, you know, are no longer interested in the old story of being, you know, a traditional tribal child, but then they're not fully integrated into the urban setting as well. And so you have like all of these children, and like we were at this town called Isiolo, which is that first scene in the film with Sinbad town, and we would walk down the streets, and at any given time you'd see like at least 20 kids that were all together huffing glue. And we just started like looking at this, and we couldn't understand like how kids as young as 3 year olds were completely on their own, and, you know, suffering in such a horrific circumstance while able, you know, mamas and papas are walking by them. And we just started kind of watching, and it really disturbed us. And we started talking to them, and, you know, the more we got to know, the more we were involved, and we just became really obsessed with their story. And it was clear that like nobody really knew it, and we thought that film could be an incredible way to get everyone else to learn about what they're doing.
All right, and you say that the children were young as 3 years old. How difficult mm-hmm. was it for you to try to distance yourself away from your subjects being behind the camera? In other words...
Yeah, it was horrible. That was the hardest part, you know. And but at the same time, like, we began, before we really did the film, we were trying to help them ourselves, you know, and taking them into children's homes and feeding them, and like we were trying to do everything we could, because it broke our hearts to see these kids. And what we realized is, as two of us, you know, Austin and myself, like, there was no way that we could really make an impact in these kids' lives. You know, we have very little money, and there's just 4 hands. And we started realizing the power of storytelling. And, you know, if we can tell this film and let, you know, invite other people into this same experience in Kenya and around the world, then we can be much more helpful for these children, as, you know, it's kind of like a microphone for the situation, and we can get many people to open their hearts like we did.
And you've asked around and ended up getting interviews, but how difficult was it for you to get as close to your subjects as you did? Think in the movie, I think about a year passes. So, like, how was that relationship built between your subjects and you and Austin?
Yeah, you know, we kind of made this film in a really different way, where it wasn't just a normal like production schedule. We fully lived with these communities. So, you know, the tribe that you see in the beginning and the end of the film, we actually like stayed with them in those huts and really became like integral part of the experience, because beyond the film, we were really, really passionate to understand what's happening. And, you know, when we were with the kids, we would rent, you know, apartments in the slum nearby to just be as close and available as possible. But it, you know, it took a lot of patience, and it took a lot of us, you know, trying to assimilate and be as local as possible. And, you know, cameras rolling all the time. There's so many hours where people are, you know, performing rap dances, or like just looking at the camera crazy, because these kids are super high. And editing was the biggest part of that, to just find these gems where we were non-existent. for these kids and the camera.
Was there like a sense of culture shock between either you and Austin or with the subjects or both?
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's hilarious in that, like, you know, the kids in the film and us got really close where they started sleeping with us towards the end of the film, and, you know, we would invite them and they became our friends. It was no longer like filmmakers with street kids. It was like we really loved and appreciated these kids as our own peers, and, you know, we're young enough making this film. I was 23 to 26, and so I was pretty close to these kids, and it was wild, you know, to experience just life through their eyes, what happens when you are hungry and when you don't have really a roof over your head. And, you know, we spent our time with them, and to kind of understand what that was like was something that we just had no idea about, being kids born and raised in the U.S. who have all these creature comforts. But
so you ultimately lived in their shoes.
Yeah, we really did. I mean, as much as we could. We definitely have no clue what it's like, but we tried as best we could to live in their shoes. And, you know, it was so sweet at the end. Like, the kids really thought that we were street kids from the U.S. who just wanted to come and hang out with them. So it worked, you know. They really understood that, like, you know, we would wear super, super dirty clothes with holes and, you know, slowly just kind of become like them so that they felt comfortable.
And how long did that take for them to get completely comfortable with you guys?
Really, it took probably, like a real intense 5 months. But, you know, it was constantly evolving. People would spread rumors that we had other intentions, and there's also the idea that they didn't really understand how a film could help them. So, mm-hmm. You know, they would get upset with us some days. But, yeah, it was pretty powerful. I mean, the biggest part of it was we spent a lot of time with them not filming, just, you know, taking care and having fun and playing and getting to know each other. And that created a really deep bond.
Was there a sense of danger being in Kenya?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially Nairobi was really intense. You know, that group of kids there, Anto and all his friends are really, you know, they're wild. They're criminals. And when we first went into that scene, it was like, oh, we were super afraid. And, you know, people would kind of give us death threats. And there's always a chance of having our things taken, because we would go into these areas where, I mean, poverty is really, really real, and we would have, you know, expensive cameras or these things, and but somehow we were super, super lucky, and, you know, we never really encountered anything that was so bad. We managed to keep ourselves protected, and I think so much of that was based on just, like, really, really respecting the community and, you know, becoming a part of it so that people knew us and they liked us, instead of just being these outside tourists that they didn't really care about.
And how do you know from a documentary or a documentarian standpoint when your filming is completed? How do you know when filming is done?
Yeah, I laugh at that, in that, like, I still watch Chuck Bonds. I'm like, oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. You know, it's constantly changing, and that was the funniest part with this film, is that we would have a plan one day, okay, we gotta go shoot a Kai doing this to complete the story, and then we would realize that was completely wrong, and so we were constantly shifting. We had to be very spontaneous in our filmmaking, and we wanted to make it a portrait of their lives, less than a story from beginning to end, because as a documentary, life doesn't end. So doing a film in that form kind of gave us some freedom, and, you know, it's ongoing. What we really wanted to do is to show these children in a in a light where you get to know them and resonate with them as kids beyond just being street kids. And yeah, that was a hard thing to know that it was finished. We went back a couple times to get kind of fill-in footage, but...
And there's a couple of scenes in there with Sinbad where he's watching like this movie with some of his peers, and he looks completely awed by what he's watching. Was there a certain awe to the subjects with you being there with cameras, knowing that they've seen movies before, but them being a part of a movie unlike the ones that they watch, was there some sort of experience or awe-ness that they felt to it?
You know, I think that they were I think that they didn't really understand what we were doing, and I don't think that they could comprehend that we were actually making a film about them, because just imagine, the community doesn't even look at them. So for someone to be so interested to, like, make a film for people to see, like, they were watching us film them, but I don't think that it really even came across on a serious level. I don't think they realized until we actually showed them the film first, Sinbad and all the Itiolo survivors. We had the first test screening with them to just basically get their approval, you know. We were like, is this real? Is this your story? Because if it's not, like, we really don't want to put it out there, but if it is, like, awesome. And that day was so monumental. Like, they were so excited, and, you know, they felt so much respect, and just to really see that their story was being told and that people cared about it. Like, they were totally blown away and stood up 10 feet taller, and, you know, it was a big, I think, transformation in their life, and just complete shock. And we're really excited right now. We're going to launch a big fundraising platform the next 2 months to raise funds to bring the film back to Kenya so that we can do a tour in of the film across the country, open space, publicly for free, so that all the community can come. And that's going to be a really, really big deal for these people to hear the voices of these kids, and for the kids to see their story and to have the community, you know, really look at those kids in a new light.
It's
really powerful.
Do you guys try to keep in contact? Like, do you go out there? Do you go back to Kenya to try to visit them and see where they are now? Or is there a way of communication that you have with like Sinbad and Akai?
I had a really, really close bond with Sinbad, and I think that the bond that we had was something that probably started this film and also kept us going when times got really hard. Just the love for this child, who actually ended up helping us so much understand a new reality and to realize that we can love people, and that's more important than having things or, you know, a certain lifestyle. And so it's been really important for me to stay in contact with him. And we generally Skype about once a month to have a friend, and he'll let, you know, Sinbad come and use the phone, and they can give me a call, and I'll call back. And yeah, we talked. We got Sinbad into, like, different boarding schools because he really wanted to go to school, but these things didn't work. And then we got him a job working at a juice stand, and he was there for a few months, but that didn't work either. And basically, it all came down to not having the support, the human love, and the comfort to kind of dip into this other reality. And you know, even just having these opportunities, when you don't have that human support, it's so easy for them to just kind of fall back into the glue and these old antics. And that was really frustrating and hard for us to watch, because we wanted to be there, but we couldn't.
No.
Austin right now is in Kenya, where we're starting a radio station in Isiolo, and so we'll be spending some time out there, and, you know, continuing our work with the community, and, you know, keeping kind of a live feed blasting out.
Being out there, you said that they thought that you guys were street kids from America coming to Kenya. What Was there any, did they offer you any glue? And how did you react?
In the beginning, we were like, oh, stop having glue, it's bad, and, like, really educated them on all the health and, like, why they shouldn't do it. And then we started understanding that, you know, the problem is much deeper than having glue. Having glue is horrible, but why they're doing it is because, you know, they have no food, they have no one that loves them, and it's a way to escape from the reality. And so instead of just putting glue, it's like, how do we help reality so they don't want to have glue? And, you know, so we kind of shifted from taking a bottle out of their mouth, just being cool with them. And, you know, they understood that we weren't interested in that, but they also, like, every now and then would kind of joke around, or even nicely, you know, be like, here, would you like some? And we would always say no, but we definitely would get really high, you know, being around them all day. I mean, they reek like glue, and we would go home each night just like, whoa. And we tried it one day just to kind of understand and feel it out. And it was cool. You know, they really, I think it, like, helped us kind of bridge a gap in, like, respect and trust, where they're like, wow, you're not too good to try this dirty thing. But they really understood that, like, we disapproved of it. But it was important for us to kind of understand the experience to know what kids are feeling like.
You said how long you were out there filming for?
Off and on, mainly on.
And what was the reception like at film festivals?
Incredible. You know, this is our first film, so we were laughing, you know, not really knowing what we were doing, but, you know, premiering at the Berlin Film was just an amazing way to open the doors. And, you know, our screenings are generally sold out, and the audience is just enamored with the piece and will, like, kind of follow us out for 3 hours after the film to learn and to understand. Like, there's just so many questions, and, you know, we're really learning that the dialogue that this film brings up, the conversation, is so healing and so important to have, you know, with people, whether they're in Chicago, Berlin, or, you know, especially coming Kenya. Like, it's a really critical issue that's happening all over the world. And, you know, who do we keep in the shadows in our communities, and what can we do to change that? And generally, it's the idea of, hey, we don't need to wait for the person doing something or the government. It's like we can ourselves each take responsibility to the extent we can and make it go from there. And, yeah, we've had a really fun time at the festival.
What led to the decision to not include a narrator or any sort of narration?
No, we really wanted to show an experience rather than give our direct influential experience as much as we possibly could. And of course, you know, you make a film, you shoot what you see, you edit what you want to do. And so, you know, you're obviously making your story. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, we wanted to just kind of leave it a lot more open-ended. And, you know, the film is more like an abstract piece. Like, there's a lot that's questionable, there's a lot that's confusing, and we kind of wanted that to happen. We wanted people to really kind of get caught up on something or think about it, or, you know, have these same dilemmas themselves rather than just giving our answers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, that's kind of what happened. It wasn't like we had a Kenyan guide with us the whole time guiding us through. That would be a good narration voice. And we definitely didn't want to use our, you know, American tone either. We wanted it to be, like, as much as an immersive experience as possible.
Like, an intimate experience for the viewer.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the end goal? What's the end goal for Tough Bond? What do you want to see happen with this?
Yeah. Movie? First thing, we really, really, really want to bring this film back to Kenya. We're planning a tour in Kenya in July of this year, and we're asking for support to make that happen. You know, it's all up to us to bring it over there. So we're asking the audience to kind of, you know, check out our website. We're going to have a crowdfunding up pretty soon, but support on that level so we can just bring this film as far and wide as possible throughout the country there to really let this story of these children be told in their community. The other side of that is, you know, hoping to just get it out as far as possible around the world so that people are, you know, confronted with the reality in Kenya, and also, you know, have it kind of take them, you know, have people take a look at their lives and see what they're taking for granted or who they're neglecting. That's kind of what we're up to with that.
And has Tough Bond really made an impact on you as a filmmaker? Are you wanting to go out and explore more issues, whether it's in Kenya or all throughout Africa or maybe even America?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was kind of the film school for both Austin and myself, and we love storytelling and, you know, become quite obsessed with it, whether it's just communicating in a room or whether it's making a film. But yeah, to capture these stories that will help us open and understand life in another way is, you know, I can't imagine doing anything else at times. Really exciting. We're finishing right now our second film. It's about elephants and the poaching crisis. Mm-hmm. And that will be out later this year. And from there, yeah, you know, we might go into other communities and doing some work with Native Americans in the U.S. and, you know, just continuing to tell these stories that are generally left in the shadows, but that can, you know, awaken and open so many of us.
Oh, okay. That's actually pretty awesome. I guess I'll look forward to that elephant poaching film later this year.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for taking your time out of your schedule to come and speak to me. Is there